أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make this majlis of ours a majlis of ma'rifah, a majlis wherein the Imam of time is pleased, a majlis wherein we all learn. In Dua Makarim al-Akhlaq from our fourth Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wa salam, Imam has a phrase, says that Allahumma wantahi bi niyyati ila ahsan al-niyyat. Allahumma waffir bi lutfika niyyati. So two points are being mentioned over here by the Imam. That is the niyyat that we have. Niyyat means the intentions. That is the niyyat that we have. Imam says, first of all, have a niyyat which is the best of intentions. And secondly, complete and perfect this niyat of mine with your grace, O Lord. So it's two things being mentioned over here. That is, a niyat, we have to have an elevated niyat, a high niyat, with lots of hopes and aspirations in it. And secondly, a niyat which takes everything on board. So we have to correct the niyat that we have. That is, no matter what task and what job we may be doing, that intention has to be clear. Not just clear, it has to be high. When we have a niyat for a certain task, don't restrict it to that very little one. Now, to understand this in simple words, we'll seek assistance from riwayat. And there, Prophet Musa, he is instructed to go to Misr to take the body of Prophet Yusuf and bury it in Palestine. Allah instructs him to do that and says, you will go to Misr, you will come to the point, and there will be an old lady. Get the address of where the grave of Prophet Yusuf is from her, and she will guide you to the grave. Now, if Allah wanted, he would have given the address to Prophet Musa, but he doesn't. He comes all the way, travels there, gets to the destination, finds the old lady, and for the address now. She says, I'll give you the address on one condition. He says, okay, what condition? She says, no, first you'll have to guarantee. Then Prophet Musa says, I'll guarantee you the paradise to the old lady. She says, the paradise I'll get anyhow. There's another condition attached to it. Wahi is revealed to Prophet Musa. Accept whatever she says. After all, it's me who has to give. Nothing is going to go off your pocket. And then Prophet Musa says, okay, I'll accept. Now prior to this, I'll just explain what happens. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he had established himself in Medina, and once he has a trip to Ta'if, there a person, he meets him and says, Ya Rasulullah, do you remember me? He says, yes, I do. He says, Ya Rasulullah, you had not established yet. You were not well known among the community. It were the early days of you promoting Islam. You came to Ta'if, I hosted you. He says, yes, I remember. He says, I served you. He says, I remember. And then Rasulullah says, what do you want? He says, if you could give me 200 goats and with someone to look after them. And then Rasulullah says, this person came all the way to me, got to me, and asked for just 200 goats. That is a loss. It is as if Imam al-Asr ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. If he is present in this majlis and if we get to see him and we come all the way to him and say, Imam, I've got a headache, can you cure it for me? That is losing, that we meet the Imam of time and instead of asking for higher hopes and du'as and wishes, we come and ask for something so little. So over here, when this person asks for these 200 goats, Rasulullah then starts quoting this hadith that during the time of my brother Prophet Musa, this is what had unfolded. And then he comes to this point and says, the condition which that old lady had put for Prophet Musa is that when he said, okay, I'll accept, she says, whatever rank Allah will give you in the heaven, I want exactly the same rank in the heaven. And then Rasulullah says, look at this person, he came all the way to me and he wants just 200 goats. So when it comes to niyat, we have to have high elevated niyats. Not just a small niyat which is restricted to one of these small issues. So that is one thing which we learn from this dua of Imam, which says that Allahumma wantahi bi niyati ila ahsanin niyat, that make it as such that the niyat that we have, they are elevated, they are high, they are good, and everything is in there. And when it comes to wufur, and again Imam says Allahumma waffir bilutfika niyati. Niyat of mine should be as such that it takes everything on board. An easy applicable of that is these clips that float around in every center. You've got the names of marhumin, you restrict it, saying that a fatiha is requested for this mu'min or this mu'min, son and daughter of such and such a mu'min. So we restrict that one fatiha just for that one mu'min. The teaching taught to us in riwayat is that when you recite a fatiha for all mu'mineen and mu'minat, initial intentions were for your mu'min in particular. Ma'soom says that Allah, he makes an angel stand by the grave of each one of the mu'mineen who were from ever and who will come on in the later time. And each one of those angels will represent you and seek forgiveness for you. So one fatiha recited is that having a lot of thawab or including everyone. So that is wufur. That is when it comes to niyat, have a niyat as such which takes everyone on board. So that is something again which we learn from this dua of the Imam. Now to understand this a little bit more, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Was returning from a battle, and there one of the soldiers says that I wished my brother also was with us in this battle. That is, my brother, his desire was to be in this battle, but he couldn't. Imam in reply says that, was his heart with me? He says, yes, that was his desire. He wanted to come with you, he wanted to serve you, but he couldn't. And then Imam in reply says, فَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا, that although he wasn't with us in this war, but because his desire was such, because he hoped to be like with us over here in this war, he is with us, he is part of us. فَقَدْ شَهِدَنَا. Or for example, again Imam continues saying that وَلَقَدْ شَهِدْنَا فِي عَسْكَرِنَا هَذَا قَوْمٌ فِي أَسْلَابِ الرِّجَالِ وَأَرْحَامِ النِّسَاءِ. So on and so forth continues. So it is the intentions that we have. If we have an intention which is wafir, which is abundant, which takes everything on board, that huge big reward also will be there. The impact also, it's going to be different. The same thing we learn from Karbala, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, this noble, loyal servant and companion of Ahlul Bayt. When he comes to Karbala, Jabir, he's an old man, plus a century is his age. A hunched man, old man, eyesight almost blinded. He comes by the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, starts crying, weeping, and then present over there in that majlis is Atiyah Kufi, one of the Mufassireen. There Jabir says that we have a share in the reward of whatever Abu Abdullah al-Hussein got on the day of Ashura, and we are again among the associates and among the companions of the Ashab of the Imam. Atiya Kufi says that, how come, Jabir, you an old man, you can hardly walk, you cannot see. How do you get a share from the performance of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? Then Jabir quotes a hadith, says, سَمِعْتُ حَبِيبِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَقُولُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا حُشْرَ مَعَهُمْ, that whosoever loves a nation will be raised with that nation. And continues, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ عَمَلَ قَوْمٍ أُشْرِكَ فِي عَمَلِهِمْ, that someone who loved the action of a nation will again be part and parcel of the reward which that nation will get. So Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, if he fought in Karbala and Jabir wasn't absent over there, but his intentions were to be with him, or he loved the action and the performance of the Imam, according to Rasulullah, he says that he's also part of that same entity, part of that same reward. Whatever he gets, he also gets, and that is because of his desire. This is one. Secondly, if you look into the intentions that we have, for example, we always wish to be with Abu Abdullah in Karbala, but we cannot because of the passage of time, which is a hindrance. Or for example, if we wish to be with the Holy Prophet or with Amir al-Mu'mineen, serve him during his time, it is not possible for us because of the passage of time. Or for example, today, being here, we wish to be in Karbala in these days, but we cannot be. It's either here or there. Physically, we can be either here or there. But when it comes to niyyat, you can have a niyyat which takes everything on board. That in your mind, in your heart, although we are here, but our intentions are that we are in Karbala. Or that our intentions are that we are in Najaf. So that is possible. In niyyat, you can have a niyyat which is elevated, which is high, which takes everything on board. Physically, it won't be possible. Now, certify this with another hadith. Quoting from Biharul Anwar, Muhyiddin Irbili, he says that, I was with my father in a cafeteria, and then we were sitting, and there was another person present in that cafeteria with an amama, with a turban on his head. He says that as he was asleep, and as he slumbered, his head, the amama on his head, it tilted, it fell, and we saw there's a big mark on his head, as if it is wounded. We ask him that, how did that wound happen? How did you get hurt? And then he says that, I was in the Battle of Siffin with Amir al-Mu'mineen, and there I got wounded. The father and the son, they start mocking and laughing at him, that how is it possible? The passage of time, 600 years from then till today. How were you in the Battle of Siffin? And then he says, listen, this is what had happened. That I was on my way to Misr alone, and then I meet someone who was a Nasibi. Nasibi is someone who has this hatred towards Shias. And then we have a heated debate. He said to me that if I was in the Battle of Siffin, I would have quenched my sword with the blood of Amir al-Mu'mineen and his companions. He says that if I was in the Battle of Siffin, I would have quenched my sword with the blood of Muawiyah and his companions. So there is a fight between the two. They get hurt. And he says, the last thing I remember is that I hear a blow, a knock on my head, and that is it. After that, I did not know what's happening. I just passed out. And then he says that when I woke up, I saw my head in the laps of someone. And he has his hand, starting from my toes, he waves onto my feet. All the wounds, they are cured. He comes all the way like that, right to my head. My head also, all the wounds were cured. But he says that this wound on your head, it's going to remain. And then he says that when I saw the person who had knocked me down is dead, he says, I've killed him. But this mark on your head, it's going to remain. It was the Imam of time, Imam al-Asr. And then Imam says, this trace, this mark, this wound on your head will remain. Whoever asks you, tell him that I got wounded in the Battle of Siffin. So, So that is Allahumma waffir bi lutfika niyyati. That when it comes to a niyyat of mine, make it as such that it is an elevated niyyat. وَانْتَهِ بِنِيَّتِ إِلَىٰ أَحْسَنِ النِّيَّاتِ. The best of niyyat. When it comes to a niyyat which is wafir, which takes everything on board. Now, how do we apply this in our daily life, in our life? Now, again, after this report, Imam concludes as such that نَسَرْتَنَا نَسَرْتُكَ. Says, you helped us, that is in that battle when the two were fighting with each other. Imam says that Nasartana Nasartuk. You helped us, we helped you. Wala yansuranna Allah man yansuru. And whosoever helps Allah, he too helps. When it comes to applying these niyat, for example, if you were to study, you want to go to college, university, or job, or get a house, settle down, get married, etc. Have a niyat which is high, that God, I want to study so that the distance between me and you reduces with that niyat. I want to gain that knowledge so that my ma'rifah increases, so that I become a better person, a better servant. Or if it is a dwelling place or a wife, that if I want to settle down, so that I could be a better servant of yours and the children be better Muslims, so that they be raised in a way that they serve the noble cause with those high intentions. Or when it comes to a home, that God give me a home which is safe, which is secure, wherein I can live, I can dwell, and I can worship you in a better way. So with all these intentions, we can just top up everything. When it comes to niyyat, it isn't as such that niyyat we have to have only when we start to say our prayers. You can have a noble niyyat, a good niyyat in whatever you do. When you start your day in the morning, even if you're cleaning your house, cooking your food, if you have that niyat of qurbatan ilallah, that is to seek the nearness of Allah, a person will automatically be rewarded. So we find that we are doing our day-to-day tasks, but with that niyat, a person is rewarded because of that niyat. Now, it may so happen that we forget that constantly to have these niyat in mind. We can have this direct deposit system with Allah. Say that whatever good I will do throughout my day, God, throughout my life, intentions of all of those tasks and actions of mine will be to seek the nearness of yours, and that is qurbatan ilallah. We can have that arrangement with Allah, that although we forget, we are forgetful during our day-to-day tasks and affairs, but with that intention we can have that system in place, that arrangement in place, that we are rewarded for whatever we do throughout the day. That is one, that intentions should be high, not low, like that man who came all the way to Rasulullah and asked for 200 goats. They should be high, like that old woman who wants a stage, a level in the paradise next to Prophet Musa, as whatever he's going to get. The other point I had in mind to mention over here is, there are certain actions, certain things in a community that destroy a community, and they are finding faults in each other. We have to be very careful when it comes to looking into the personal affairs, personal issues of other mu'mineen. If it is for a noble cause where it's normally minimal or it never exists, that is something else. But normally we find faults in each other, which again stem to backbiting, talking evil behind their back, accusations, so on and so forth. All these are issues which do exist. And we have to be careful. As it was mentioned repeatedly, that the soul that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us, it has to be maintained clear, clean, so that it elevates, so that it reaches those high ranks. So finding faults in others and making them known to others, it is among the great sins that have been mentioned in Quran, have been mentioned in riwayat, etc. So making one's personal information available to all, promoting that is filth, that is haram. Sometimes we find that this issue of finding faults in others, it's due to the hatred we have to that person, Or maybe it is because of that animosity which we have to that person. Or it may well happen that it is that quwwaya shahawiyya, or that desirous force which Allah has placed in every individual. Sometimes it malfunctions, as a result of which we just have fun in finding faults in other people. So that is something which we have to correct, look into ourselves, that if we are afflicted with that disease, we have to cure it. It has to be cured. Like every other disease that we get afflicted in our body, we get it cured. These diseases that are hit to our soul, they also need to be corrected. Quran says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That many a times you find that people, they find faults in others and then project it to others. Say that those faults to other people. Quran says, people who love to project faults that are present in others, things that are hidden in other people, they love to project it. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They've got a painful punishment that is fast approaching them. Or for example, if you look into the riwayat that we have from the Holy Prophet, he says, one who projects the evil actions of others is like one who has performed it himself. Although we have not done it, we've seen something wrong in other mu'mineen, we just promote it, project it, and inform that to other people. Rasulullah says, that person who is doing that job of projecting that evil is as if he has done that sin himself. Or for example, one who taunts a fellow mu'min for a sin or a wrong he has committed will not die, but that he will be afflicted with the same disease, that the same sin which he had committed, that the person had committed, and he's just projecting that sin. Before he dies, he'll commit that sin himself. So we have to be careful that when it comes to projecting the wrong, the filth, or the shortfall of other mu'mineen, it doesn't, Rasulullah says that before you die, you will be afflicted with the same sin yourself. You'll commit it, you'll perform it. Or elsewhere says that my nation, all of it will be forgiven, but those who do wrong and bad openly. And then the reporter, he says, what do you mean by doing wrong openly? Mujahara. Rasulullah says it's projecting the bad actions of others. If there is some bad action in an individual, and if I go on projecting it, saying that to others, that this is what he has done, Rasulullah says that is mujahara, and the person who does that, he has a painful death both in this dunya and a painful death when he departs from here. Or for example, one who listens to a talk of a nation which they dislike others to know, on the day of judgment, lead will be poured into the ears of these people because of that wrong which they had heard about other people. So it's quite serious, it's very serious, that with all this emphasis that Quran has, with all this emphasis that the Holy Prophet has, that we have to be careful when it comes to looking into the faults and problems, shortcomings of others, and then promoting it. Or elsewhere says that, O you who embraced with your tongues, that is, who have accepted Islam with your tongues, and your hearts are free from Islam, don't be after finding faults among the other members of the community, among the Muslims. Why? Because one who is after finding faults in others, God will go after his faults. And when Allah goes after finding faults in us, then there is nothing but just humiliation in this world, in Barzakh, and in the hereafter. So, finding faults, it destroys a community. It may come to your mind that we may not be afflicted with these diseases of finding faults in others. Or physically, we may not be looking into the personal information of others. We may not be projecting it. But if you look into the Dajjal that we have today, it is doing the job for us. We are also getting carried away with it, and we are unaware that what we are doing. Facebook, this disaster that has come up, especially for the children, for the youth, and in particular for the girls. All the information that is, first of all, we don't need to have an account on Facebook. It's nothing but filth. So all these sins that were listed by Ma'asumeen, all these sins that were listed in Quran, that promoting the wrong present in other members of the community, it's a sin, it is bad. We find all of that is being done in a digital way, which is again the same sin, but in a different format. Quran says those who do that, the same sin is for them. That is, that painful azab, it's waiting for them. When it comes to posting information on Facebook, first of all, we don't need to put anything of ours. Girls in particular, you don't need to post your pictures on Facebook. Definitely be sure that in the next 3 years you will regret that, I wish I had not had an account over there. I had not shared all that information on Facebook. Boys also the same. So much of time is being wasted chatting. It's all trash, nothing. And my assumption was that there was just 1 hour a day, or maybe 2 hours a day, of is being wasted on this Facebook. Day before yesterday, in one of the schools, about 200 students were present, all Muslims, mostly Shias. And I said, how much time do you spend? 1 hour on Facebook, 2 hours. One of them was sincere. He said, Maulana, 3 hours average every day. So 3 hours of time being wasted on Facebook, and it's nothing, just trash, just wrong. So sincere, humble advice is deactivate your accounts from Facebook. You don't need to have an account on Facebook. You don't need to. Niyat, we said that Allah give us a niyat, وَانْتَهِ بِالنِّيَّةِ إِلَىٰ أَحْسَنِ النِّيَّاتِ, an elevated niyat, or وَفِّرْ بِلُطْفِكَ نِيَّتِي, give me a niyat which is vast, which takes everything on board. Niyat, it is an intention that we have to have in our أَمْرٌ قَلْبِيٌ, in our heart. On one occasion, you can have this niyat with your mouth, verbally, and that is when you want to deactivate your account on Facebook. Say that, God, قُرْبَةً إِلَيْكَ, I'm going to deactivate my account today. Just deactivate it, and it's just one off. It's simple. Go on the tools, account settings, last tab, deactivate your account. They'll ask for your password, close it. And it's nothing, just filth. It's just a humble request, especially from all the youth and the girls in particular, to come off that Facebook. If you look into the whole mission of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, where it comes to the missionary, the messenger of Karbala, it's Zainab al-Kubra, salamullahi alayha. The niyats we find, the intentions we find in Karbala, they are amazing, elevated, high, which have everything on board. Or for example, it must have been these days that we are now there in Sham, in the courts of that Mal'oon Ibn Ziyad, when the household of Abu Abdullah had gathered. There Ibn Ziyad says that, how did you find what Allah had done to you? In reply, Zainab al-Kubra, she says that, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, that whatsoever I saw was beautiful, was wonderful. Now this may come to your mind that, why did she say that, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا? Why? That I saw everything beautiful. When in reality in Karbala, everything was ugly, nothing was beautiful. It was the beheading of men, killing, bloodshed, massacre, you find tents being burnt down. So everything was a disaster. Then why does she say that, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, whatever I saw was beautiful? She says, the beauty I saw in Karbala is that, when that Sahabi, that companion of Abu Abdullah, he fell to the ground and he is in the laps of Abu Abdullah and he is cleaning his eyes, the first thing he says that, our faith, that was I loyal to you, Ya Abu Abdullah, says that is the beauty we find in Karbala. Of, for example, when it comes to the eve of the day of Ashura, the night of the 10th, there Abu Abdullah, when he turns the light off and he wants everyone to go, they don't, they stay back. Each one of them has a sermon to give. One of them says that, Ya Abu Abdullah, if we were to die 70 times, if we were brought back to life 70 times, killed again in the worst killings, again we will be with you. Zainab says, that is the beauty of Karbala. Or for example, when it comes to Abul Fazl al-Abbas, when Abu Abdullah turns that light off and everyone has a sermon to give, Abul Fazl al-Abbas, he is quiet. Not a word does he utter. That is, to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he is all submission, all loyalty. No word to utter, just service and obedience, and that obedience to remain. She says, that is the beauty of Karbala. That is what we saw. Or that reporter, he says that فَوَاللَّهْ مَا رَأَيْتُ قَتِيلًا, that on the day of Ashura, the reporter, he says that I never saw a qatil, someone who has been killed, so beautiful, more beautiful than Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, that he is hit, he is hurt, he is wounded, and in those last moments I see him glorify and praise the existence of Allah, saying that I am pleased with what your pleasure is. Says that is the beauty of Karbala. And Zainab al-Kubra, this messenger of Abu Abdullah, she says that when I wanted to see Abu Abdullah, whensoever I wanted, I come there and I see him quite a few times a day. She opens her eyes in the laps of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. But in the courts of Ibn Ziyad, when the head of Abu Abdullah is brought in there, sees every member of the caravan, but when it comes to Zainab al-Kubra, he closes his eyes. Why was it? Maybe he wanted to say that, how can the services of you, Zainab, they be thanked, the way you took care of my orphans and children. Zainab, she says that, so long as Abu Abdullah was alive, my two eyes, they were sufficient to see him. But on this day of Ashura, this Hussein of mine has appeared before me into thousands of pieces, that if I was to look at him, I can't see him with these two eyes of mine. Ilahi, bihaqq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha. Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Allahumma ighfir lana wa liwalidayna wa liman wajaba lahu haqqun alayna wa liman wassana bid-du'a wa li jami'i ummati Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.